Welcome. Can you believe we are coming to the end of this course? I'm almost sad to see you go, but I'm really excited to see you keep going. The learning doesn't stop just because this course has stopped. I am praying that people with disabilities and their families are now going to be coming into your life, and you're going to have new excitement for that. You're going to be prepared. You're going to welcome that. You're going to invite people into your community who have disabilities to speak, to present, to share, to help you all grow better as a richer community. So I want to talk now about equipping others. I focused quite a bit in this course, and Barb and I have kind of been pouring ideas into you, and a few times we've said, you know, for your volunteers or as you're training others, or if this isn't your area of expertise or your area of ministry, but now I want to focus specifically on how you can now equip others in your community, wherever you are in leadership or just in your position in the community. So let's talk about this a little bit. We've brought up the puzzle piece perspective. We've talked about those things. So I want to encourage you to keep all of the pieces together. So if you can create some kind of visual within your community to have this conversation, and that might be puzzle pieces. You actually do a puzzle together, and maybe you even glue it together and have it on display somewhere. Or maybe you have cutouts of puzzle pieces, and you're going to describe your greens and your pinks, and you're going to show a display of your community as one big puzzle. Have that conversation and talk about these things. Or maybe you use these paper chains like we sometimes do to celebrate holidays or to count down the days till Christmas. And each one of us is a link in the chain, and maybe each one of these gets a name on it, or we color it or we decorate it with things that are meaningful to us and about us. And we create a tapestry or even like a chain link, something that has all of us connected. But the idea is that we show that we are all valuable pieces. We are all interconnected. We need one another. And so have that conversation. Use the position you have in leadership to show this in some way, visually and by engaging others in the conversation, that we keep all of the pieces together. And so as you talk about that, I want you to think about how can you literally keep all the pieces together so that you are not separating or segregating people based on their abilities or disabilities, so that wheelchair users are over here and people with intellectual disabilities are over here and neurotypical people are over here, right? God has created each one of us distinctly, differently, uniquely, and He has designed us to come together in unity as pieces of the puzzle. And so how can you maintain that unity all together? Now, we talked in that section on behavior that sometimes you do need to separate for someone's safety, maybe for someone's health, right? You need a scent-free zone. Maybe you need a quiet zone for people. There are a variety of reasons where you might need areas that people can go for a time. But I would urge you to always have the goal that everyone come back together as much as possible. We do best when we are with one another. So maintain witness, keep all of the pieces together. Now, I want to let you hear from Barb now, a little clip from her talking about a book that she wrote many years ago. It's actually not in publication anymore. You might still be able to get a copy of it. But she talks about the helpfulness of providing information about an area of disability so that you can inform the peers. And this is where we talk about equipping others, right? So informing peers. And just as we've done throughout this course to give you a little taste of some different areas of disability, not that you are now an expert in any one of them, but to give people a little taste of what it means to have these disabilities, right? So some of those one-pagers that I've referred to over the course of this class so that you have an idea of what it means to have Down syndrome, cerebral palsy, right, a traumatic brain injury, whatever it might be. So providing information in a dignifying way so that you're supporting peer interaction. So watch this little clip from Barb as she shares about that process.
One of the books that I wrote is called Helping Kids Include Kids with Disabilities, and I have several lesson plans in that book. With permission, and again, helping kids, so this is more for children and youth settings, but it's filled with three parts. The first part, in several different areas of disability, says, okay, here's a fact sheet about what is, a hearing difference, what is autism, what is an intellectual disability. And it just is a short description. Because I know, having been children's ministry director, that if I took that piece of paper, I could give it to one of my volunteers. It's only one page. They would read it and they would have a general understanding of what that is. Then the next part of each section is a lesson plan that you could use to teach peers about a particular individual. Now, there are some in general things in the book as well, but it's pretty much set up to be specific. So if I know that Anna, who happens to have Down syndrome, is going to be part of this group, I want to teach about that. I want the kids to delight in Anna and in that specific thing called Down syndrome. We're quick to do that, and we do that with Anna in the room because we're not putting her down. We're not calling her an all pink person. We're calling her part of the group and delighting in the way that God has created her and calling on the peers to be part of Anna's life. So anyway, one of the lessons that I've used in there has car keys, or a set of keys at least, and it goes something like this, and I will apply this to the kindergarten student I did this with who happens to have autism, but again, there are lesson plans for a variety of different disability areas so that you can pull one that works. Actually, the key one works with a variety of disability areas too. I just believe in the book I've tied it to a child with autism. So again, we had trained the leaders to know about that, but I went in to do a lesson, and it went something like this. All right, boys and girls, I want to ask you this question. I want to know, when babies are born, do they have their crying key? Right? You don't need to explain much more about keys than that. Do they know how to cry? Do they have their key for crying? Oh, yeah, you know, and my mom had a baby and she cries all the time, right? So they know that. Then I'll say a few other examples. I might say, do they have their eating pizza key? Oh, no, they don't know. Sometimes God gives us keys for things right away, and sometimes we have to wait to get that key until a little bit later. So at that point, you know, we've gone through some examples, and then I'll say, you know what, I wanted to introduce you to somebody in this classroom. In fact, I wrote a really big word up over here, and I wonder, is there anybody here who knows how to read that word? Now, clearly, although he didn't know what it meant, my friend Scott knew how to read that word, and there was not one other kindergartner who knew how to do that. So Scott clearly just called out the word and read it, and all of the kids are like, oh. So that was a pretty amazing thing. I've done this with children with Down syndrome and often make note of the fact that that individual can talk on the bottom of her foot like a telephone or both feet at the same time, depending because of the flexibility and the like. So anyway, I find that gift that we can highlight. But for Scott, it was definitely the reading. I said, that's right. You know what? Scott already has his reading key. And as you go through this year, you might get your reading key too. I'm excited to hear about that. So, and if you need any help with a word, you could ask Scott because he already has his reading key. How many of you know how to play on the playground? Well, you know, we went through that, and do you have your playground key? Yeah, they knew how to do that. I said, you know what? Scott's never had a chance to play on the playground before. He's not really had friends at a school before, so I think I'm excited because he might get his playground playing key from you here. So that was the end of the discussion. The third part, and I'm so glad it was there because I'm giving you a real live example, is a letter to parents of peers that can be adapted. Because we know that kids go home with stories, and they might go to Sunday school, go home with stories, whatever that might be, and that indeed, with parents' permission, Scott's parents' permission, we sent this letter home to the other classmates. It was a wonderful day, a lesson, but the very next day, I was so convinced this was the right thing to do, to give information to the teacher, to give and the helpers in the class, to give information to the peers in the class, and to give information to the parents, because the next time they met, sure enough, down I saw, coming down the hallway, here is Scott being hauled by another kindergartner who has a bite mark here with blood dripping off his arm. Calm as could be. Now, if you've been with kindergartners who get bit, they are never calm. But this kiddo was calm. He pulls Scott over to me and says, I think we need to find Scott's no biting key. Again, an amazing thing that had happened. He realized through this filter that Scott wasn't being mean. He just didn't have his key for not biting. Now, clearly, we discovered that key quite quickly for Scott, but it was this incredible testimony to information. And I think there are times when we will want to highlight an individual. We might want to highlight autism or the building blocks that God uses in someone with Down syndrome. As kids ask questions, again, we are giving information about a specific individual. I often relate that to my own hearing loss and what I've gone through. I will sometimes say, if I'm in a room or with people for a significant amount of time, I might say to them, you know what? There will be a time when you might say something and I might not answer you. The reason for that is because I don't hear well in this ear, and sometimes my hearing aid isn't all that helpful either. So please tap me on the shoulder, get my right. Because if I don't say that, there are a couple of possibilities. A person might say my name if I'm leading a conference, and they go, oh man, it was probably a horrible question because she didn't even respond to me, right? So they might misinterpret what it is that I just did in ignoring their comment. Another response for somebody might be, boy, that lady sure is a snot. She thinks she's all that, you know. Here I give my comments and she doesn't even respond. Who does she think she is? I don't want either one of those reactions because neither one are accurate. I would rather tell people about my hearing loss because then they can accurately interpret what's going on. People ask that too. You know, is it okay to tell people about your dad and dementia? Well, you know what? They're already going to notice that something's different about dad. I would rather equip people with the information that they need to interpret what it is they see. Goes back to passing out those eyeglasses, those puzzle piece eyeglasses that we have shown from time to time. So think about that. Would you rather pass out information to allow people to best interpret what they see, to allow that student to best say, oh my goodness, I think we need to find Scott's no biting key, to allow the parents to have read about the joy of having Scott in their room, so that when that call comes home, they too have a reference for what's been going on. Information. We have found over many, many years of doing inclusion in both schools and congregations is an important tool. Remember, you cannot give specific information out about an adult or a child without proper permission. Did I say that loudly enough? You need to get it, and you should get it in writing, because and sometimes even we've invited parents to give that information. We've had parents put together wonderful books about their child, and they come and read that to the community, specifically letting them know. So there are so many possibilities, so many ways, but my suggestion is that you take the time you need to equip peers by doing lessons, by doing things in general or specifically.
Now, Barb talked about her book, Helping Kids Include Kids with Disabilities, and that's pictured in the center here, but I want to share a few other resources that could be helpful for your conversations. One is called Everybody Belongs Serving Together, and that is a book, but it's also a free PDF, and it's actually an online resource, so you'll find that link to that resource in the course resources for this week. But what I want you to think about is information about disability, yes. Information about what the context can be, absolutely. But also, can you use stories a little bit to share about some things? And so a couple of other ones pictured here is a book called Wonder by R.J. Palacio. And so that is actually a fictional story, maybe not the best way for some contexts, but can be helpful. Could you do a book study on Wonder or another book about a person with a disability or a situation with a disability, and including maybe a book that Barb's going to mention in another video here called I Choose Adam, or something called, I love this title, If I Squeeze Your Head, I'm Sorry. That is a book written by a mom and a son. The son has autism, and one of his things is that he squeezes people's heads when he's saying hi, and it can get kind of vigorous when he gets excited to meet you. And so he learned to say this phrase, if I squeeze your head, I'm sorry. And so this book is kind of his showing of things about himself and about life with autism and the way that he lives it, so that it helps other people to understand. And so resources like this can be extremely helpful in launching into the conversation. How can you have conversations in which you're presenting information and engaging people? Can you invite people with disabilities to share about their experiences and what's helpful for them? When they're a wheelchair user, is it helpful for you to hold the door, to try to push their chair, to leave them alone, right? What is it from their perspective that's helpful? Can you use some stories and things to engage in that conversation? If you need a few places to get started, I've included a bunch of links to help you. And so I'm going to show you just a few of the things in here now. One of my favorites is from an organization called Ability Revolution. And a few years ago, they started creating these stories they called Flip the Script. And those are just a fun way to think about disability, and maybe if we reversed it where the entire organization is made up of people who are blind and they're trying to have someone come in who isn't blind. And so it's the person who's not blind who actually seems to have a disability in this context. So a fun short video that can be a really engaging conversation starter. So I encourage you to check out their YouTube page of their videos on Flipped the Script from Ability Revolution, and I put links into three of their videos that are just a really fun place to start as well. Some other things to think about, and I think it's really important, as I said, to get firsthand information from individuals, and Barb even mentioned this too, right, about knowing the individual. We've said that so many times. So can you create a page or a book about yourself or about the individual so that it's very easy for people to share the information that is needed to know? And there are a lot of different ways to do this. Some of my favorite resources come from an organization called Simply the Gospel, and they have some free downloadable templates. There's the child version, the youth edition. They're all editable, and so you can put pictures in, you can add in the information. WISP Ministries is another organization that has a great version of this, so if you want to subscribe to their resources, you'll be able to get at their All About Me page as well. And even if you simply look online, there are all kinds of resources for how to make an All About Me book, even, for your child or your loved one with disabilities or special needs. And even if you use the program Canva, they have ways to make a one-pager about yourself that some people use as a part of their resume, some people use it as an introduction if they're the new kindergarten teacher, right? And so these are a great way to just make use of that, to share, you know, this is my diagnosis, this is some of the equipment that comes along with me, these are some things that help me, these are some things that don't help me, just some information like that. So to create a bit of a bio is a really helpful piece of technology, honestly, that you can provide to people, whether it's printed, whether it's digital, whether it's a one page or an entire book. You might need to decide what fits best in the situation, but creating those can be quite fun and quite easy, and I just want you to think about that as an option for providing that information. And again, we need permission to share these things publicly or with the community or the congregation. If there are things that need to be kept private, or maybe only on an as-needed, a need-to-know basis, maybe only leaders get to know these kinds of things, right? That gets put into a separate file. And so how you learn the information matters, and what you do with it matters, but I think widely sharing is extremely helpful. In fact, in my own journey with chronic Lyme disease and how it impacted my body, I started a blog, and I simply called it Victory and Lyme, because that was now my life. I live in victory in Christ, but I also have Lyme disease, and that impacts my life in different ways at different times. But I was very open about it because I wanted people to know what was going on with me, as I was so isolated from community in so many ways for quite a while, for years. But also because I knew that people needed information to know about what Lyme disease, what the cause of it is, how I knew about it, what I was experiencing because of it, the treatment that I was going through, and what that caused me to experience as well. And then some things that people could do that were helpful, not necessarily my own personal needs, but as a community, how could we raise awareness about Lyme disease? How could my family benefit from others knowing some more things? And even just knowing, coming along with me on the journey helped me not to be as isolated and lonely, and for others to feel like they could engage with me and respond to my blog posts and know how to reach out to help or just to encourage. And so I just believe truly that the more we can provide of honest information, the better we are as a community. But I also really understand that there can be needs for privacy, and I want to respect that, and I want to urge you, any information that you have, make sure you have permission to share it before you share it, and that you have permission to share it with all those with whom you're going to share it. So that's just an introductory piece for this week of thinking about equipping others. So equip peers by giving information. And then next time we're going to talk a little more broadly about equipping the community through our volunteers. So I'll see you in the next segment.